Over in the book of Isaiah, in the 65th chapter, and in the 17th verse, I want to say this before I read tonight. You've been a peculiar people. You've been a peculiar people. The Bible said that God would have a peculiar people. You've been peculiar, different, called out, different from others, peculiar. God has called you out. You're peculiar people. We've got a responsibility and we've got a job to do. If the Lord spares this building to stay here until the gospel is completely hurled around the world, we've got a responsibility. If God lays it even with the ground, it's been like a nest to bring forth. And you still got a responsibility. Though you be scattered to the ends of the earth, you still have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to spread the glad tidings of great joy, to keep a unity, to never break that unity, but to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of fellowship, loving one another, swearing to your own hurt, not waiting for one another to submit to you, but rather submit to them. To form a unity for God all around the earth. And I made this statement in talking to somebody today, and I want to make it to you. There is one way that you can always be right. If you would love to be right all of your life and never be wrong one time, I'll tell you how you can do it. There is a way that you can be right all the time and never be wrong one time out of your whole life. And that is that in everything that you do, go at it in the defense of Christ. Do it for His cause. Don't use the word to justify yourself or to protect yourself, but use yourself to protect the word. Put yourself on the altars for the word. And don't use the word to defend yourself with, but put yourself up in defense of the gospel like Paul did. If you'll take Christ as defense in every thought, in every dispute, in everything that ever happens to you, take Christ His way in everything, you'll always be right and you'll never be wrong. Never. You'll never be wrong. You can look at others and others might say, well, you think you're right all the time. But if you take that, you are right all the time. All the time. Praise God. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn over with me to the book of Isaiah, and let's read just a little bit here. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more offense an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. In the 22nd verse, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. All right. I want to take a thought or two here and talk with you just a little bit. I'll probably go over to the book of Revelation concerning this. I'd like for you to notice that it said their worm shall not die. God said, thy worm Jacob, I shall help thee. Their worm shall not die. Neither shall, and if you'll notice, the word here is there, not the fire. It doesn't say neither shall the fire be quenched, but their fire be quenched. All right? Another thing, if you'll notice, it said here that the one that God would look at would be the one that trembleth at his word. How many of you are trembling tonight? I said, how many of you are trembling tonight? Somebody said, I know that I've got it. I wonder how many of you are trembling tonight. You say, Brother Pike, do you think that's what he meant? That's exactly what he meant. To him that trembleth at my word, I will look. To him that be of a contrite spirit. How many of you are contrite tonight? How many of you are? How many of you are hard still? Fixed in your own desire, in your own way. Spirits hard, set to think like they're going to think, move like they're going to move, plan like they're going to plan. How many of you can tremble at his word tonight? I'm afraid tonight, if God really came down to find out how many of you really tremble at his word tonight, I'm afraid he wouldn't find it. But did you know tonight, I can say as one among you that I tremble at his word. I quiver on the inside. Sometimes I'm very fearful and afraid in thinking about his word and the power of God to destroy me, to do away with me. The Bible said, fear lest you be cut off. Be not high-minded, but fear. It's by his grace that you're saved. All of your praying, all of your fasting, all that you've ever done won't help you one bit. Not one bit. The Bible said every bit of it's like filthy rags in the sight of God. It's by his grace that he saves you. And unless he has mercy on you, you're gone with all of your efforts. It means nothing. It adds up to exactly nothing. All of the Jews' efforts, everything they ever done, he added it up to nothing and cast them out and took the people that had never done anything but that broke down before him and said, we're a bunch of wretched people. And he saved those people. He was sought of those or found of those that sought him not. They never prayed, they never fasted, they never sought God. But when the word of God come, they trembled at his word. They said, we're a bunch of heathens. We know nothing of God. We know nothing. The prophet said, I'm an unclean man. My lips are unclean. They tremble. And when Paul preached to the Jews said, who do you think you are? We're God's seed. We're Abraham's seed. But when he turned to the Gentiles, they said, we'd like to hear more about this. We know that the Jews look on us as dogs. We'd like to hear more about this. But the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. My brother and sister, you that think you've got it, you need to do an about-face because you haven't got it. And you that think you haven't got it, that tremble at his word, do an about-face because you have got it. You have. The drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before those that confess religious activities. I want you to notice something here I'd like to say now and tie this in with my thought tonight if I can, just to exhort you a little bit. In Revelation 11, 12, and 13, this has to do with the new heavens that God said he would create. This has to do with the new earth that God said he would create. There is a precise moment when it was to come in, a precise time when we were to receive the inheritance. Now I know in discussing this tonight, when we talk about it here in the 12th chapter, the 13th chapter, I understand that we've got to be able to comprehend what the Spirit is saying to the church before we can know what God means by a new heaven or a new earth. Is that right? We've got to be able to understand what he means when he says a new heaven and a new earth. That's why that in my preaching and teaching, I take so much time to try to break it down and try to explain it. It takes so much time to read Scripture. I read a lot of Scripture so that you can understand, not just taking maybe a passage of Scripture, reading a line or two like most preachers do, just read a line or two and try to build a sermon from it. I don't try to do that. But I try to read enough of the Scripture to where you can understand what I'm saying and see them talking about the Word of God, where you'll tremble at the Word. Some of you have never trembled at the Word of God in your life. You've never been broken up. You've never come that far with God. You're confident that everything's all right with you when it's not. You need to get broke down. You need to tremble. You need to get to the place to where you realize that you're blind, naked, wretched, and that you need a helping hand from God. You say, who do you mean? I mean every one of you. Every one of you. You need to come to the place to where you realize that you've not done anything. I've heard people say, Brother Pike, I've done this. Brother Pike, I've done that. You haven't done anything. Not anything. I haven't got a man in here that's done anything. I haven't got one man in here that's fit to go to heaven. Not one, black nor white. I haven't got one woman in here that's fit to go to heaven. Not one. Not one. Not one. The ones that hear my voice on tape, there's not one living, nor has ever lived, except Jesus, that was ever fit to go to heaven. Never one. Never one. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. Not one. But Jesus, upon him, God has laid the iniquity. He was chastened. He's the one that deserves the credit. In that day he alone shall be exalted. Brother Pike won't walk up and say, look what I know and look what I taught. No other brother in here will say, look what I've done, what I taught. Nobody will. Every one of us will drop our heads and walk up, and he alone in that day shall be exalted. And anything that ever come out of our lives, whether it was fasting, whether it was praying, whether it was a revelation, whether it was healing, whatever it was because of him. All of it was because of him. And he alone in that day shall be exalted. If that be true, then it's time that we begin to find our place on our faces before God. The women that are rebellious and contrary, I want to say this to you, that everything that you've done to obey your husband, you haven't done one third of what God expects of you. I know that some of the women have taken the attitude that I've obeyed my husband. You haven't even done one third of what God expects you to do towards your husband. Not one third. I've not got one woman in here, not one, that's obeyed her husband. Not one. There's not one among us. Not one. Not one of you have done what God expected you to do. That's the kind of condition you're in. I've not got one man in here that has obeyed God and done what God wanted him to do. Not one. You say, but I have, but you're a liar. You haven't. I'll tell you to your face, you are a liar. You haven't done it. Not one man. There's not one man living on the earth that's ever lived on the earth that ever done what God wanted him to do. Not one. Not one. Except Jesus. Except Jesus. So then, when we think that we've done real good, and we feel that we've come a long ways in God, all God does is take the light, and He increases it 10 times 10, and the spots that we never knew was on the wall begins to show. He begins to take the great magnifying glass of God and let us look at ourselves through it. And all of the dirty spots that we couldn't see begins to show up. And then when we get them washed off, He magnifies the light 10 times 10 again. And He still shows us that we're a dirty rag. So then there is no righteousness when the bright light of God comes. This building looks pretty good. But if I increased this light 50 times, you'd see spots, blemishes, and different things in here that you never dreamed existed in here. God has got us on a journey. Wives, you need to straighten up. You're not doing half what you ought to do toward your husband, toward your neighbor, or toward your children. Not half what you ought to do. And men, you need to straighten up. You're not doing half toward God what you ought to do. Not half toward what God. You women that expect your husbands to turn and meet you on a 50-50 deal, you might as well forget about it. Husband, don't you dare turn and meet her on nothing. Your obligation is not to her at all. Your obligation is to God. Her obligation is to you. Don't you meet her on nothing. You turn your obligation to God. You take care of God. And God will take care of you. It's her job to be obligated to you and you to God. The Bible said the married man careth for the things of his wife, how that he might please her. But the single man careth for the things of God, how that he might please him. If you're a married man, you've got to come to the place to where you care for the things of God, how that you might please God and not the things of your wife. And you let your wife look to you. I want to say this. I was asked the question this evening. I want to give an answer to it. How do I feel as an individual toward my own relatives? How do I feel? This is the way I feel. I am given a special love in my heart, just as you and everybody else. It is the act of God toward my own immediate family, his wife and children and so forth. I'm given that toward my mother, my dad, my brothers, my sisters. I'm given that. God places a special love and concern in the heart of an individual so that that individual will be more concerned about his children and his wife than he will the neighbor's wife or the neighbor's children, in the sense that they become his responsibility to work for them and to make them a living. That's God-given. It should be there. But when it comes to the things of God, my responsibility is to God in the spiritual and not to my wife, not to my children, not to my mother, not to my daddy, and not to my brothers and sisters. Nor to you. My responsibility is to God. I have one family. That's the God family. When Jesus said, "Who is my mother, my brothers, my sisters? These that do the will of my Father in heaven, they're the same. They're my family." I have no respect to person. So the only feeling that I have in my family is the feeling that I've got to take care of them, in the sense of feeding them and looking after them. But as a God man, my responsibility is my children throughout the world, which is the household of faith, and the widows and the orphans. I am supposed to plead the cause of those for Christ's sake. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is to look after the house of God, to keep it up. My wife is second. My children are second. God is first. God's program is first. And unless you can take that with Abraham and lay that wife and children and family and relatives down on the altar as he did his own son, you haven't made it yet. You haven't made it yet. You're not the children of Abraham. You haven't made it yet. Until you can get away from the fact that every time somebody corrects your children, tries to straighten them up, and you get away, unless you can get away from that thing of flying up, the fact that you fly up every time, you just haven't made it. I've got some of you, you come down to my house to visit. And just as sure as anybody corrects your children, I can feel you rise up. You won't say anything, but I can feel you rise up. You haven't made it. You just haven't made it. You just haven't got it. It just isn't there. That's all it is to it. You say, but I believe it is. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. And the Bible said, unless you forsake mother and daddy, brothers all, for my sake you haven't got it. You can't be my disciple. You haven't got it. You that violate the Word of God and the rules of the brethren that we make for the campground that's based on the Word of God and let your children do the things that's contrary, you haven't got it. You just haven't got it. You that come here and sit and resent the Word of God as I speak to you and tell you the thing that you've got to do, you haven't got it. You've not made it. You haven't got it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then nobody has it. Yes, somebody has it, but not you. There are some people that do not resent. There are some people that do not find fault. There are some people that do love one another. There are some people that do not gossip. There are some people that do not cause division. There are some people that's not vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind as to think they're something and everybody else nothing. There are some people. There are some people, but it's not you. It's the ones that fit the Holy Scripture. When you think you're something, you're nothing. When you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. I learned a lesson a long time ago. And this one lesson I learned was that we're on a journey and that we're growing, continually growing. And that no matter what I knew yesterday, I need to know something today. No matter what I know today, I need to know something tomorrow. Somebody say, but if I got the revelation today, then I don't need anybody to tell me anything. But that's where you are wrong. Peter said, though you know these things, yet I feel to tell you all over again, stir up your pure mind in Christ. You forget too easy. You let them slip. That's why there's a ministry, to continually tell you. I tell you these things that you might understand that you're not going to make the rapture, that you might not be ignorant, that that day might not come upon you unaware, that you might know where you're standing. If you don't pay your just and honest debts, you haven't made it. My dear brothers and sisters, you haven't made it. If a man will not pay his debts, he hasn't made it. No need to lie about it, you've not made it. If a man doesn't have the spirit of mercy to swear to his own hurt, he hasn't made it. If a woman can't honor and obey and reverence her husband in all things, she didn't make it. I said she didn't make it because she's saved by the faith of the Word. And that's what the Word told her to do. If a man can't honor and reverence God in all things, he hasn't made it. He hasn't made it. He hasn't made it. If you can't subject yourself to the ministry and obey the ministry without resenting the ministry, without talking about the ministry, without finding fault with the ministry, you haven't made it. You haven't made it. You say, well, bless God, if that be so, there must be a mighty few of them. Jesus said, few there be that find it. There's a mighty few of them. There's a mighty few of them, but there is some of them. There is some of them. I'm going to remind you of this just before I read a little bit here to try to bring out my thought tonight. There wasn't but eight in the days of Noah, and then it narrowed down in the days of Lot, and then it narrowed down when they come out of the wilderness, and it's narrowed down today. It's narrowed down today. It did not increase. It continued to narrow down. Now, if you people are willing to quit playing church, quit hypocriting around, quit making believe, quit trying to tell yourself you're something that you ain't, and get in and love the Lord and love one another. And I'm going to say this, and you consider what I'm saying tonight. The Bible said if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? The way, the attitude that you've got towards your brother and sister, you've never got into the kingdom of God. You're just on the outside. The Bible said, unless you forgive men their trespasses from your heart. You got to get that thing out of your heart. You got to get it out of your heart. I don't care what he's done to you. I don't care what she said to you, whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, whether it's your daughter, whether it's your son, whether it's your sister, your brother, whatever it is, you got to get it out of you. Somebody said, well, they don't treat me right. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It ain't how they treat you. It's the way you treat them. God isn't interested in how they treat you. God's interested in how you treat them. Somebody said, well, they said something about me. Well, you say something good about them. Somebody said, well, they said something that hurt my feelings. Well, you crucify your feelings. The Bible said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. You need to be dead. You wouldn't grumble and complain and find fault so much, like I said this morning. You wouldn't cause a stir all the time. You cause a stink because you're not dead. I'm not worried about what you think about me. I'm worried about what I think about you. I've got to answer to God about what I think about you, not what you think about me. What you think about me, I've not got to give an account to God for that. But what I think about you, I've got to give an account to God for that. So then God is expecting you to get them things out of your mind and begin to consider your brothers and sisters a little bit. Begin to love them and quit worrying about what they think about you. Some of you people sound like a crack record about somebody hurt my feelings, somebody done this, somebody violated my principles, somebody owes me an apology. I don't think the brother loves me. I don't think they're treating me right. I don't think the preacher this, and I don't think that. You need to get that out of your mind. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. I said this morning that if you are meditating in the laws of God day and night, you haven't got time for that rubbish in your mind. You get up and you be a man, you be a woman. You make an effort to pay your bills. You make an effort to transact right with people. You make an effort to get out here and be a light in the midst of the people. You make an effort to get up off of the lazy spot that you're in and carry your load and not be a burden to somebody else, but let them carry their load and you carry your load, and then you take what surplus you got and you help somebody else carry their load. Somebody that's needy. Don't carry the load of somebody that's just sitting around doing nothing. Don't do it. Carry the load of the orphan and the widow and the true ministry of Christ. Otherwise, leave it alone, because it'll be marked against you instead of for you. The Bible said if you bid that Godspeed that's not godly, God will require it of you in the day of judgment. So you be sure. Somebody said, well, it don't matter what I do with my money. It does matter. Somebody said, well, it don't matter whether I know or not, as long as I give it. It certainly does. I wonder if I go out here and take my money and throw it out here in the garbage can, and I just say, well, it don't matter as long as I'm giving it. What reward am I going to get out of that from God? Somebody said, well, that's not, if I give it to somebody, I'm not throwing it in the garbage can. Yes, it is. There's a lot of walking garbage cans. There's a lot of walking garbage cans. All right, now, I want to bring out something here. I just felt like exhorting you a little bit on that, but I want to bring out something here if I can. Jesus said in the prophecy that I read to you that I create new heavens. I create new heavens, and I create my people as an everlasting seed and an everlasting joy. I create a heaven that will never pass away. I create an earth that will never pass away, but it will be from now on. That's what we're looking for. Heavens that will not fail. Earth that will not pass away. A place that Abraham said, a city that hath the foundation, and that this world doesn't have any foundation. I'm looking for such a place. And this is such a place that the prophet described. He says here in the book of Revelation that at the time that this is to be found, that in the 11th chapter, in the 15th verse, that there would be an angel that would sound, and that when that angel finished sounding, that the mysteries of God would be finished and the kingdoms of this world would be turned into the kingdoms of our God. It says here at the same time that when this happens, that all of the nations will be angry. Germany will be angry. Japan will be angry. America will be angry. All will be angry at God in the time when God does this. When He declares that the mysteries are finished, and declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, then the Bible said that at that time the nations will become angry. Now, it also states in the 12th chapter that when this thing takes place, that Satan will be cast out of heaven. At the very hour that this thing takes place, as Brother Taylor's got it drawn here on the board in the drawing, that at the very time this takes place, that Satan will be cast out of heaven. Now, that will be what causes the nations to be angry. Because the nations in general would not know anything about being angry, not knowing anything about the kingdom of God coming in, unless there was a satanic power that could come forth and stir up their minds of evil against the move of God. That is why that the nations right now, at the present time, are becoming stirred and becoming angry. Because they perceive that something is taking place right now. In other words, that is to say that they perceive that they're not able to cope with the situation, that everything has got out of hand, their orators, their great educators and different ones can't handle it. And they're beginning to be moved. They're beginning to be stirred up. And they realize that something is taking place. And they've got to have a helping hand. But they won't admit that the trouble is that they've rejected God, and they've rejected the kingdom of God, and they've rejected the government of God, and that they're in a mess because they have rejected it. They won't acknowledge that. But when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom, and when Satan is excommunicated and the devil is kicked out of heaven, it is then at that time that they suddenly become aware of the fact that God has left them and that they have the whole thing to themselves and they got to figure it out all by themselves. And that's when they're going to become angry. Right now, the Lord's Spirit seems to be lifting from the earth. The Spirit of God. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel God's Spirit every day. But my brothers and sisters, that doesn't make you to know that God's Spirit has not lifted from the earth. Somebody would say, I think you're beside yourself anyway, because every time I go to church, I feel God's Spirit. But there was a time when the sinner could come to church and feel the Spirit of God. There was a time when the revival could go out into the highways and into the hedges, into the tents and different things. And the Spirit of God would literally be poured out as it was on the day of Pentecost. For he said, in that time I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There was a time when this could be done. But I want you to know that they're drying up out there. People not having revival out there. The Church of God's not having revival. The Baptist Church is not having revival. The Pentecostal churches around the world not having revival. The Jesus name churches are not having revival. The non-denominational churches are not having revival. The revival is over. It's lifted. It's gone. God's Spirit is withdrawing from the earth. Now you say, I feel the Spirit. That's good. If you can feel the Spirit, that's good. But you don't have anything to do with the world. Because the Bible said we are not of this world. We are chosen out of this world. If I feel the Spirit, I feel it because I am in heaven where God is. Not because it's in the earth. For the Spirit of God's being lifted from the earth. It's being taken away. God's lifting it, Toby. He's taking it out. And people are hungering and thirsting and drifting from country to country. They're even changing, going from nation to nation. They used to just go from place to place. But now they're going from nation to nation. Hundreds and thousands of people every year are having airplane trips, getting together on tours, trying to go over into Jerusalem because the Spirit of God's lifted, because God isn't with them anymore. And they're running to and fro and going into the foreign countries and setting up tours to pacify the church because they can't offer them the Spirit of God, Brother Hollis. They're trying to pacify the church and set up a tour. Put them in debt for $1,000 here and $10,000 there to make a trip over to Jerusalem. That's all right. If a person wants to do it, that's fine. I'd love to go there myself. But the thing that I'm trying to tell you is that won't substitute for the Spirit. You can go to Jerusalem all you want to. You can see the tomb where Jesus lay.
You can see where Samson pulled down the pillars, but that isn't going to suffice for having the Holy Ghost. You're going to have this God we're speaking of in your heart. The Jews was over there in the Holy Land. They were there when Christ was crucified. They were there when he walked the earth, when he fed the multitudes, when he healed the sick and opened the blind eyes. But that didn't save them. It didn't save them. Then when Christ left that side of the earth, so to speak, with the revival, they came over here to the Gentiles, and he began to walk the earth over here in human bodies, begin to open the blind eyes, unstop the deaf ears, tell people their thoughts and what they were doing, trying to show them their wrongs. During all that time while he was walking here, people didn't repent. They didn't turn away from their sins. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if people really truly knew that the judgments of God was going to fall on them, they'd repent. They wouldn't do it. Look at the tornadoes sweeping the country right now. Cities, some of them are just almost demolished by it. But does the people repent? They go from one tornado to another, getting worse and worse all the time. They still go to the juke joints and get out here in the world, don't they? Why? Because it's not in them to repent. There's got to be something in there. Even in the book of Revelation, when it said that God would rain down the hailstones out of heaven. The hailstones coming down from out of heaven. Does the people repent? They don't repent. When the earth literally opens up, an earthquake sweeps through the land, and people by the thousands are just literally massacred, do they repent? The Bible said they curse God. They curse God. Though they wish they could die, they curse God. They curse God. You say, but Brother Pike, is the gospel still there? The Bible said the everlasting gospel is being preached to them while all this goes on. But do they repent? They don't repent. Why? Because there's nothing in there to make them. And the Bible said you can't come to God unless the Spirit draw you. When the Spirit of God's lifted, it doesn't make any difference how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you call on the name of the Lord. God won't hear you. There's people that's burning in the flames of hell tonight. They're calling on the name of the Lord, but God doesn't hear them. He doesn't hear them. He doesn't hear them. The Bible said in that day, I will laugh at your calamity, I'll mock when your fear cometh. A lot of people have the idea that God is so good that he's going to overlook every one of their wrongs. And as a fellow said to me, save him in spite of himself. They're so sure that God's going to lay aside everything that they've done wrong and still save them until they don't bother to try to straighten up their crooked lives. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever you are. We got just about all that in here. It doesn't make any difference if your mother was a saint. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Unless you repent of your sins, straighten up your crooked life, you're going to die and go to hell. There ain't no other way for you. You've got to get straightened out with God. And when God's Spirit lifts from the earth, you're not going to have any conviction. You can tell already that God's Spirit's beginning to lift. Because some of you that's sitting in your night, you're just as hard as you can be. You do every ungodly thing that's made mention of in the Bible and some that's not made mention of. Ungodly people. Selfish, haughty, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. Always finding fault. Always gossiping. Always tearing down. No respect for each other. No respect for your neighbor. No respect for the preacher. No respect for the gospel. Lewd, evil, selfish, mean, low-down, contrary things. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God is being lifted from the earth. My brother, the more that God's Spirit goes away from you, the harder that heart of yours is going to get. I remind you again of a man I heard that blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And the man's heart got so hard that he would go by the church and throw rocks at the church. Go home and take the dishes and just break them up. Curse God. Why? Because when the Spirit of God leaves you, you get bitter. You get hard. A lot of people say, well, the more that God put his wrath on me, the more that I'd love him. That's wrong. You don't know what you're saying. Go turn the scalding hot water on in your tub. Stick your foot down in it. And when you feel the pain, the terror, there's something that'll harden your heart when you think about God burning people. And before you realize it, you'll catch yourself being hard toward God. Because that's not what saves you. But the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. It's when God woos us and God loves us and God overlooks our faults and God overlooks our wrongs and God looks down and says, come on, try again. I love you. I'm with you. I'll help you. But the Spirit of God isn't going to always strive with man. God's doing that now. God's giving you a chance now. God's trying to help you now. But I'll tell you, you've come to the end of the trail. This thing is over. Let me tell you something, children of God. You listen to me tonight. This foolishness about trying to tell God what God ought to do and tell God what God ought to think and try because you think you're somebody to direct God and tell God what he ought to do. You're playing the part of a fool. It takes a fool to do something like that. A little finite nothing down here in the earth trying to tell God what to do, trying to plan God's life. You can't do nothing like that. We're no more than a speck in his sight. The best man that ever walked the earth was no more than a speck in his sight. David, a man after God's own heart, had prayed 7 times a day. When he saw the corruptible way that he was, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you even notice me, God? The Spirit of God is being lifted. Why? Because the message of God is coming to a close. The mysteries of God are being finished. And just as quick as they're finished, according to the Revelation 11, right here, that all of a sudden there's a voice that rings out of heaven saying, behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. All of a sudden there's a cry from heaven. And there a voice comes forth and say, God, reward the prophets, reward the saints, those that have had perseverance, those that have travailed, those that have tried to keep your name, Lord, and uphold it in the earth, reward them. The time of their rewards are at hand. And the Bible said at the very same time that all this begins to take place, that John beholds a great wonder in heaven, and there is the woman standing on the moon. You know what the revelation is. You understand the hour that you're living in. There she stands on the moon. There's a great travail. And the Bible said there's a man-child coming forth. There's something that's taking place. All of the time that this other's going on, there's something that's taking place. As God's Spirit lifts from the earth, the man-child is going up. He's going up. And when the church is caught out, they're the salt of the earth. Look at the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as quick as God took Lot out of Sodom, immediately the fire and brimstone came down upon it. The Bible said a third part of the stars will fall from heaven. I believe that's the fire and the brimstone. It's been found out in the desert where meteorites have come down. Burn out. Brim. Nothing but brimstone. Where the fire burn out like a coal that you drop inside of a heater. You ever took the coals out? Not the ashes, but the coals. It was brim because all of the elements were burned out of the rock part. Just brim. Invented. Is that right? But sometimes hot coals. Wandering stars. Stones. Stars that have no light, that are not suns, but they're just reflectors. They're just coals to heat up, to give a light from the sun, just glowing, that's all. But the Bible said that the devil, at the time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of God, at that time the devil, he takes his tail, puts it around a third part of the stars, and casts them down to the earth. Fire and brimstone, the red dragon, the fire the brimstone, a third part of the stars falling upon the earth. What is it? It indicates that the church is fixing to go through a purging, that God is fixing to separate the sheep from the goat, that those people that have been nothing but troublemakers, that's been nothing but reflectors, all they've ever done is reflect the blessings of others. All they've ever done is mumble, grumble, complain, find fault, cause division. Never support the church, never pray, never seek God. And some of them that do fast and pray selfishly like the Jews with a self-righteous attitude that they're doing it for themselves and don't care nothing about nobody else. God said, I'm sick of that kind of stuff. But when we pray, the Bible said in secret we pray. Not so people can hear us, but we pray so God can hear us. We go into our closets, we shut to the door, and we pray in secret. The Bible said, God who heareth in secret will reward us openly. Not like the men that love to be called rabbi, that wants to lift up their voices in the streets to be heard of men. The Bible said they have their reward. When they fast, they disfigure their faces to be seen of men. They testify of it, tell of it. God's not with those people. But the little woman, the man that slips away, that prays in secret, that fasts in secret. And the Bible said they pray to make their voice to be heard on high, pleading the cause of the widow, pleading the cause of the orphan, asking God to help the church, asking God to save the people, asking God to take sickness out of the midst of the people. That's God. That's prayer that goes to heaven. When you pray to make your voice to be heard on high, that God can do something for you. Pleading the cause. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Taking their beatings upon you as you fast and pray. Bleeding in your heart. Sacrificing in your body. Bleeding for the people. Being a scapegoat for the people. Saying, have mercy, God. The Bible said, pleading the cause. Pleading the cause. We got some spiritual orphans. We got some spiritual widows. Did you know that? Some of them been left without guidance. Some of them been left without spiritual food. Some of them been left without spiritual fathers. But we've got to plead the cause. God said to do it. Wandering stars. The Bible said they don't have any light. They're troublemakers. They just reflect the light. Look good. They look religious. They go to church, they give a little in the offering, but their tongue is always wagging, and they'd be better off if they wasn't even nowhere around. The little bit that they give in the offering, you never notice. The little bit of praying and seeking God that they do is never noticed, because they kill everything they do with a wagging tongue, with a backbiting attitude, with all of the discrepancies, they kill everything that they could do for God. They kill the effects of the Spirit by coming and sitting in the seat of the scornful. They come in the house of God and they sit there and they resent, find fault. Some of you, God's about half killed you already because you can't get rid of that old devilish attitude you got. That's right. You're just about half dead already. God's put you through the mill, still putting you through the mill because you won't get rid of your attitude. When he gets through with you, there won't be nothing left of you. He'll bring you in as epifire if you get in at all. And then when you get in, you'll be as epifire, nothing to show God, no labor in the kingdom, no ministry, no nothing. Because everywhere you go, it'll be the same old devilish attitude to hinder the things of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I could just get out of your presence, it wouldn't show up. I tell you, you might get out from under the x-ray and the cancer might not show up, but that don't mean it's gone by any means. It might not show up, but it's still eating the life out of you. It doesn't matter whether you go somewhere else or not. You might go over to the next church, you might not have an x-ray over there. But I'll tell you what, the cancer still got you. You're going to have somebody to see it, somebody to do something about it, somebody to get it out of you. Don't run from it, but run to it. To try to save your life. Here he said, I create a new heaven for my people. I create a day when it'll be a day of rejoicing. I create a time, Jim, when it's going to be a happy day. Hallelujah. Not for everybody, but for those that are filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I create a new heaven. I create a spiritual rejoicing. I create something that'll help you. Your little children, he said, your offsprings won't come forth in sorrow. There'll be no curse. They won't die. You won't bring them forth to trouble. When you build a house, he said, you'll be able to live in it. Won't be a mortgage on it. When you plant a garden, you'll be able to eat from it. Nobody will be able to take it away from you. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, he said. For I will restore, saith God, everything that the cankerworm got, the locust got, the year the caterpillar consumed. I will restore it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. God promised to bring a restoration. He wants to restore. God wants to do something for us, Brother Ron. God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want a church full of sick people. He don't want people languishing in the street. He doesn't want hungry people. He doesn't like the famine that's in Africa right now. The little children starving to death. The ribs bulging out. While some fat person like me and some of you sit here and do nothing. And some of you skinny ones so lazy you can't even buy enough for you, let alone your family and somebody else. That's why some of you are so skinny. You're too lazy to get out and work. But God's got a program. God's got a plan. God wants to do something. But he's got to have a man. It's a good poetry. The stars, wandering stars, the purging, the great shaking. Let me go just a little further. There's a great shaking. The Bible said in that day, the heavens shall turn black as sackcloth of hair. In that day, God is going to give a shaking. Oh, my brother, my sister, in the time of the shaking, if I could make it real to you tonight. The other day, over in Tennessee, standing in a man's audience, I saw him, his church was filled up with people. And because God had blessed him, I saw him stand there. And he said, I believe I'm living the life. But in my heart, God had done magnified the light 10 times 10. And I couldn't see his rights for seeing his wrongs. And I thought, foolish people, to stand and say, bless God, I'm living the life. Nobody ever lived the life but Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand there and say, I believe I'm living the life. And while he was making the statement, God showing me under the divine spotlight of God, the fault and the sorrow that he was headed for right then. I saw it right then. I saw the sorrow where he thought that everything was well, and I saw by the spotlight that everything was wrong. My brother, be not high-minded, but fear. Trust in the grace of God. If you want to make it over, believe in his righteousness. Believe in what he says. Believe in his way of life. Forget about your plans. The Bible said here, when this great child went up, that at the very hour that he was elevated up into heaven, caught up into the presence of God and the presence of the angels, that at that very hour God took the red dragon, Michael and his angel warred, and the Bible said Lucifer was cast out, and there was no place found anymore for him. He that kills the brethren, night and day he was cast down, the Bible says. You won't prevail against the kingdom of God, the church. Hallelujah. You can't prevail. Your lips are the gates of hell swinging open. To let the evil devil and demons and spirits out of the bottomless pits. To come out into the church. To hinder the church. You're not making any effort to get rid of them devils and demons. You're not swearing to your own hurt. You're not pressing against the grain. You're cuddling your feelings. You're bidding your time. You're allowing yourself another day. But today is the day of salvation. You might not have tomorrow. You've got no promise of it. Many of the people that I preached to in my life already, some of them are in hell. Some of them missed it. I preached to them. I told them. And they're screaming in hell right now because they wouldn't listen. Dead, passed on, gone. Some of you are going to be the same way. In the coming days, some of you are going to be dead. Some of you are going to be in hell because you won't listen. Somebody said, never happened to me, but it will happen to you. In the hour that you think not, the least. The man I told about the other day, I've witnessed to him so many multiplied times. One of the finest men I ever knew. A religious man. But he didn't think it was necessary to quit chewing on the cud. He didn't think it was necessary to do a lot of things that God said do. And he thought because he was such a fine person, he was all right. And he felt if death ever struck him, that if he ever took sick, that he'd get rid of that cud during the sixth veil. But I happen to know for a fact that when death hit him, he had a whole mouthful of it. And he run his hand in there trying to get the mess out. But he couldn't do it. He went out like that. My cousin that had known God, a big, healthy, robust young man that had stood and preached the gospel, he thought he had plenty of time to repent. When he got away from God, kept bidding his time. God sent a preacher to him. I myself had talked to him. And I know a preacher that went to him, a brother in Christ, tried his best to tell him the very night that he was killed not to do the way he was doing. Went down to a station where he'd worked, been working there for years. Harm had never befell him before. But all of a sudden, a man walked up with a gun, pulled the trigger, struck him in the heart. The woman that was dying at the place that he fell over dead said he couldn't even say nothing. Couldn't even say, Lord, Lord, forgive me. The Bible said, he that being often reproved, that stiffens his neck, hardens his heart, he'll be destroyed suddenly. Be no remedy for it. The Bible said Lucifer was cast out of heaven so that God could create a new heaven. So that God could bring a moving of the Spirit. So that God could bring back the joy that belonged to the church. Created Jerusalem a rejoicing. Kicked the old red dragon out. Set up a kingdom. Hallelujah. The Bible said a voice cried out. And the voice said, now, now, this is the hour. Now, he said. Now has become salvation. Now has come salvation to you. Now has come joy to you. Now has come the power of God. Now has come the power of the kingdom of Christ. Now has come the new heavens. And the voice cried out. For Lucifer had been cast out. There was a victory. There was a victory. I ask you the question. Has he been cast out of your heart? Has the kingdom come into your heart? The Bible said the saints would rise and take the kingdom. Have you risen up and took the kingdom? Have you been translated in the kingdom of God? Have you been caught up? Where are you? Are you of this world? Are you from beneath? Are you from above? The voice said, now has come strength. Now has come salvation. Now has come power. The power of what? The power of God unto salvation has come. Now the accuser of the brethren's gone. Now has come the power of God unto salvation. Now we can believe. Believe. Hallelujah. To the saving of my soul and of our loved ones. Hallelujah. Praise God, that's real to me. Now you can believe. Now the mouth of the gainsayer will be stopped. Paul said it's the mouths that ought to be stopped. Now they'll be stopped. God will stop them. Everybody will know they're of the devil. Can't hide behind grace. Why? The Spirit of God's been lifted. The Spirit of God's been lifted, being taken out of the earth. It's been lifted. The revival is over. It's gone. You say, well, Brother Pike, what's the need of taking this message? The message is to go to God's elect. It's not given to the world to know the mysteries of God, but to search out, to seek out, to be a gleaner as Ruth was, and to get out there after the angels who reap down the fields. Go out there, labor in the fields of Boaz, gleaners, to bring in the golden grain of the harvest in the latter times. Hallelujah. 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 Now has come salvation and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now has come salvation. Now has come strength into the kingdom of God. The wandering stars will be cast out. How can they be cast out, Brother Pike? Because they're going to be shown up as reflectors. Listen just a moment. The ones that don't get the revelation of Jesus Christ, the ones that don't get the message, will be shown up. You get around them and you'll find out they've been a reflector all the time. They'll say, I can't get it. I can't get in it. I can't get a hold of it. No, they can't get into it. They can't get a hold of it because it's not given unto them to know the mistress. That's why. They don't have an ear to hear. They're shown up as reflectors. At last it comes to light that they're reflectors, that they're not true sons, that they don't have God on the inside, they don't have the Holy Ghost on the inside, that all they've ever done is reflect the righteousness of others. They can't live an overcoming life. Somebody said, well, I just don't want to gossip, but I just gossip. That's because you've never been born again. If you've had the light of God, your light would so shine as a sun that the world could see your good works. But you're a reflector. You don't have any good works. All you've got is a gossiping tongue, a backbiting tongue. And the Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue will not stand in the holy hill of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you mean that God would send me to hell just over saying something against a sister? God has got the flames red hot for you just because you said something against your sister. I might say, you mean God will send me to hell and her talking about me all the time? If I talk about her, he certainly will. I don't care what she says about you. The only time you better talk about her is constructively or to Jesus. The backbiter will die and go to hell. Die and go to hell. It's bad when a little baby can get more attention than the preacher, ain't it? Your wandering stars, reflectors, have no control over your spirit, taken into captivity at the will of the devil. But every thought is supposed to be in subjection to Jesus, supposed to meditate His laws day and night. Is that right? Wandering stars, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Forever. Stars falling out of heaven. The reason is because they never were stars to start with. They were phonies. Never was stars to start with. Look at the one that come up here at the Baptist church. 12 families at one time. Phonies. 12 families at one time. Phonies. Under religious guise. Preacher preaching. 12 families, phonies, when it come down to the real thing. Right here we got some phonies. We got some false brethren, Paul called them. We call them brethren, but he said they're false brethren. We've got some phonies. They've got haughty spirits. They got resentful spirits. They've got covetous spirits.
They've got hateful spirits. They've got lust spirits. They've got evil, devilish, dirty, low-down spirits that defile their mind, unclean spirits. That they can't think good thoughts towards your wife or my wife or their wife or anybody else's wife. Women that got dirty spirits that can't think clean toward a man. Covetous, phonies that can't stand it if their husband gives a dollar to the church more than they think they ought to give. Can't stand it if the wife puts a little interest in the things of God instead of in them. Phonies. Got excuses of why they can't pay their bills. Excuses of why they can't go to church. Excuses of why they can't live right. Excuses of why they can't stop backbiting. Phonies. Wandering stars. Somebody said, well, I just can't make my light shine. You can't make it shine because you don't have a light. Your oil went out a long time ago. Your light went out a long time ago. You can't make it shine because you don't have one. But brethren, you that it's got a little oil left, it's time to trim your wicks. It's time to trim your wicks. The midnight cry is here. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Rise up and prove to be a virgin, not a foolish one. A foolish virgin can lose her virginity right quick. Did you know that? But wise virgins unto God, they keep their purities toward Christ. They never defile themselves. 144,000 undefiled by the flesh. The women. You want to stand with me? He that trembleth at my word. He that believeth my word. He that trembleth at my word. Do you tremble at the word of God? Is there something on the inside of you that literally shakes and says, oh God, help me not to miss it? Listen to Brother Peterson on the record this little bit ago. And he was singing that song about, I don't want to miss it, do you? It's so beautiful. Heaven is such a beautiful place. I don't want to miss it, do you? I'm sure tonight that you don't want to miss it. The devil don't want to miss it. That don't prove that you're a virgin. That don't prove that you're a Christian. That don't prove that you love God because you don't want to miss it. The devil doesn't want to miss it. The demons don't want to miss it. The hypocrite doesn't want to miss it. But brother, the Bible said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit it. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? That ye love one another as I have loved you. That means you can't resent. You can't find fault. You can't know them after the flesh. You can't want the wrath of God to come on them. You'll want the blessings of Christ come. You can't do like James and John and say, bless God, I'll call fire down on your head. The Bible said you don't know of what kind of spirit you're of. Hallelujah! Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Feel like dancing and shouting the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Messiah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Messiah. Praise God, I feel Him. I feel Jehovah Jireh. Glory to God. Amen. Love one another. As I've loved you, Jesus said, love one another. Love is of God. He that loveth is of God. He that loveth not is not seen God, is not known God. Love one another, my brother. Hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see. Let's sing a little chorus together. The Bible said, the lion roareth, and who is he that will not be afraid? He that trembleth at my words, Jesus said. He that trembleth at my words, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the surge of the Spirit of God in my bones and my body. I feel Jehovah moving, saying amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let the people say amen. God is love. God is love. He that loveth is of God. John said, a new commandment I write unto you, that ye should love one another. Not in word, but in deed. Let's sing this little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Every hour I want thee. Hallelujah! I want thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I want thee. The accuser of the brethren is cast down that accuse him night and day. Now has come power. Now has come strength. Now has come salvation. Hallelujah! 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 Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Won't you hear my humble cry? Thou art calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Tell him you love him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, I love him. I love him. What a day, what a day, what a day. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, praise his name, hallelujah, glory to God, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What a wonderful time. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, the Messiah. Hallelujah. I feel God moving like a locomotive in my soul. Ooh, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Ura Messiah. Ura Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Loving Jesus. Praise God, hallelujah. 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 Where are you standing tonight, my brother? Do you tremble at His word? Hallelujah. Unto Him will I look, he that trembleth at my words. He that trembleth at my words. Hallelujah. I feel Him moving in my soul. The deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God, and I'm God's water spout. I'm God's water spout. For out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. I'm God's water spout, and the deep calls unto the deep at the water spout of God. Are you God's water spout? Out of your innermost being tonight is the rivers of living water coming out for thirsty people in a barren, dry land. Is it coming forth? Is it coming forth? Is the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of your heart? I feel Him calling. The Bible said the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. And that is the voice from heaven saying, come away with me, my love. Come away with me, my love. Ura Messiah. Ura Messiah. Come away with me, Jesus said. Solomon said he stood at the door. The drops of the night was in his locks. His hand upon the doorknob. Mirror. Sweet smelling drop from his fingers. And my bowels yearned for my lover, he said. I wandered through the night. Have you been wandering through the night looking for my lover? Ooh, hallelujah. I've wandered through the night. Many days has passed by. It's been a dark night and a long, cold winter. But I've wandered through the night looking for my love. And now the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. I can hear him cooing, saying, come away with me, my love. Come away with me. Come away with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. So sweet, so sweet. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. My soul sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest, it's complete as I kneel at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest, it's complete while I sit at His feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Hallelujah. The Bible said there come a time when the wheel will be broken at the cistern. Is that right? Words fitly spoken as apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But ere the wheel be broken and the silver cord be loosed. My brother, the Bible said that God's people have committed two wrongs. And one of those wrongs was that they've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that won't hold water. Ere the wheel be broken at the cistern, Solomon said, the little wheel is turning. But if it's ever broken, out of the well will come no more water. Out of the well will come no more water, because that beautiful silver cord that runs from us to God will be broken. The golden cord will be cut. It will be gone. The lifeline that's connected you with God all of these years. The silver cord will be broken. The wheel at the cistern will stop turning. Then the Bible said you'll go about the street mourning, for then shall be the long-awaited day when men shall go through the street mourning. For all of the glory of God will be lifted. The Spirit of God will leave the earth. No more will there be rejoicing. No more will the voice of the bridegroom be heard. No more will the voice of the bride be heard. Tonight we're the bride and we're singing. They can hear the songs of Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the bridegroom, he'll come down and speak. For the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but the bridegroom. But someday his voice won't be heard anymore among the people. Someday his lovely bride won't be talking anymore among the people. For the voice said, come away with me, my love. Hallelujah. 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 The voice of the lovely turtle dove is heard in the land, cooing to its mate, calling. Springtime has come. Solomon said the little flowers begin to break forth. Show their faces and turn your face to heaven. What a day, what an hour, what a time. I never will forget the time I met my own wife. A young girl standing in a little country store. I was a young boy. When I met her, I took one look and I fell in love with her. And I knew she was mine right then and there. I loved her with all of my heart. And I could tell the way she looked at me, something turned over in here. And there was a drawing and a coming together. And I couldn't wait to say, as Solomon was, come away with me, my love. To take her to be my wife. God is looking down. He sees you already in your wedding garment. He sees you've got without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He sees the lovely perfumes of the Holy Ghost sprayed all over you. The radiance of the springtime sweet shrubs in the air. The glory coming up as the sun that shineth in your strength. In the bowels of the Almighty yearns for you. Yearns for you after the many years of separation. And the Holy Spirit is wooing, saying, come away with me, my love. Come away with me, my love. The long-awaited day. The long-awaited day. What a beautiful time. What a beautiful hour. The dark night is past. He that stood at the heart's door knocked as the mirror dropped from his hands. The night's passed over. The day star has dawned in our hearts. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you could accept it, if you could believe tonight? But all of your worries are over. all of your mourning for loved ones, all of the fear, the complex of having to go to work when you're tired of having to die with some disease, of having to have a wreck on the highway, having disputes with your wife, troubles and problems, longings. If every bit of it was gone, and you was back as you was when you was a little child around mama's and daddy's knee, no worries. Had all of heaven to just roam around in. No worries. Why worry about dying? You don't have to die anymore. Never worry about being hungry, because you'll never hunger anymore. Never thirst anymore. The sunlight of the fierce heat of the sun will never fall on you anymore. You'll never wipe the tears from your eyes anymore. Mother will never go to lay down in a casket anymore. Daddy will never whisper goodbye and lay down in the sod anymore. You won't stand over Junior and the tears drip down on the little vesture that's laying in the coffin anymore. The song said there won't be any crepes on the doorknobs anymore. Joy, joy, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thought about the horrible event, the calamity that befell Sister Aline when her mother and dad was consumed in a ravishing fire as the vehicle burned that they were driving. The horror of the report of my dad when he got word that my uncle had been burned to death in a house trying to build a fire for some cold little children. Mistakenly took gasoline for kerosene. The sorrow of the report that Sister Sally got when they told her that her dad had died. Brother Taylor spoke of the heartbreaks when the mother that he loved so dearly passed away. Many of you have little children. Brother Grady, he's not here. He must have gone out. But Dorothy, when they took little Stevens, so precious and dear, and had to put him away. But it won't be there anymore. Dad will be there. Stevens will be there. Your mother will be there. Your dads, your brothers, your sisters, your loved ones. Some of you are adopted. You never did even meet your daddy. You never did meet your mother. You don't know who they were. But they'll be there. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, they might not be living a Christian life. They don't have to. They'll still be there. The Bible said there'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. They'll all be there. It doesn't matter if they were wicked. That drunken dad will be there. He's going to come up out of the earth. They'll all be there. But won't it be a great day for them when once again you can put your arm around mama, put your arm around daddy. And he hasn't been a drunken daddy, hasn't been a prostitute mother, but somebody that loved God, and you've been separated from him. And you can walk up and catch that little Junior and that little girl again and press them close to your bosom. And a sigh of relief as the heart and the cup runs over to say never, never, never again. Never again will I ever let you out of my sight. Never again. You'll be mine from now on. It's coming. It's coming. It's closer than you could ever imagine. It's coming. It's coming. Over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweet over my soul. I thought about my own little old daddy, just a little feller. How much I loved him. I really loved him with all my heart. Didn't get to be with him much. Betty didn't get to be with her dad much. One of the finest men I ever knew. But I remember how she watched her daddy die, struggling, helpless. Death, the evil enemy death, choking the life out of him, and he couldn't do anything. My dad, as I went to see him, was just a few minutes late as I walked down the hall and started in the door. Been alive. Brother Ben had called me and said, hurry. Said, Dad's going. Said, if you want to see him, hurry. But I didn't make it. I got there. Just as I was going to go in the door, he'd been alive. But they asked him to step out of the room for a minute. And just as I got to the door, they stopped me and said, you can't go in. Then I found out that Dad was dead. I walked in when they finally let me in. I looked and he was laying there. He had given up the ghost. Tears began to roll down my cheeks. I bent over and kissed him. I loved him. Hadn't got to be with him much. Because when I left, I took one family. That was the God family. I left Dad. I stayed away from him. He owned the campground. I might have visited him two or three times. The whole time I was here, don't ever visit Mom. I got the God family. They're my folks. But Daddy is part of that God family. Mom's part of it. One day, we'll be there. I don't know what yours means to you, but mine means a lot to me. Brother Frank, Sister Linda sang the song at Dad's funeral, I'll stroll over heaven with you. I believe that. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a real, genuine heaven. I believe my dad's there. I believe I'll stroll over heaven with him. He's absent in body tonight. But the same heaven that I'm hid in tonight, he's hid in it with me. And we're together. We're closer together now than we ever was. While he was in that little house of clay, it separated us. But when that little man that lived in that little old house went to be with Jesus, he found me up there too. And there, Spirit embraced Spirit to stand there until death is conquered. The old body's changed. Your loved ones are a lot closer than you think. A lot closer than you think. When John got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he found out that some of the brethren that had passed on was a lot closer than he thought. One of them come to him and began to talk with him. John started to fall down at his feet to worship him. He said, don't do it, John. He said, I'm of the saints. I'm one of the brethren. You just broke into this place where we live up here. You just happened to get in it, John. You love the Lord. I'm going to close in a few minutes. But I remember Brother Branham lost his little darling baby. It broke his heart. Lost his wife that he loved so much. And he said he had a vision. He broke into that world where they were at. And said when he got up there, he said he saw her so beautiful. She ran over to where he was. Begin to say, Daddy, Daddy. God isn't going to break the ties of motherhood, fatherhood. He isn't going to break the ties of the love to Daddy and Mama. That's what makes heaven. That's what makes heaven. You haven't lost your loved ones. We don't weep as those that have no hope. We've got hope beyond the grave. Others weep because they have no hope. But we don't weep as they do. God has just put them over there for a little while. He's took them out of this world. Got them waiting. Brother Branham said when he got over there, he said everything he ever loved was over there. Said the little old dog that had got killed years past that broke his heart, said it was over there. The old horse that he had as a boy he loved, said it was over there. His wife that had left him was over there. His lovely little daughter, she was over there. That's what makes it heaven. That's what makes paradise. He prepared our heart to desire, to love, to want. And then death robs us of it. And then he restores it all. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a lovely day when you see a man, when you walk up to him and you look into his eyes. And you can see the nail prints. A real, genuine man, just like you are. Walk up and take his hands and feel the nail prints. See the scars of the thorns. The riven side. The pierced feet. Where they plucked his beard. Where they cut his back to the bones. To see him. I honestly believe from the bottom of my heart that every scar will be there. I do. I believe there'll be a beautiful jewel for every scar. That's right. When you see those scars, I believe they'll be the most radiant places like jewels that you've ever seen. When he holds up his hands, it'll be like a ruby. When he turns around and shows you his back, it'll be so beautiful. Like the bright, beautiful rainbow in the clouds. What a time, what a day to see him and to feel the love and feel the compassion that no man could ever offer you, that no man could ever project to you. But when you meet him, it just comes out. Just coming to you, flowing out to you when you see him. It'll be a wonderful day.